This week continued another week of excitement as we had more news about the rapid spread of the coronavirus, the impeachment trial closing up, and the 2020 State of the Union. And today, we're going to get into all of those with this particular focus on the State of the Union. This is Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen. This is the show where we give you a review, a preview of any information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. And as always, you are welcome. And if you really want to show your thanks, show your appreciation, you can head on over to www.patsinc.org. That's PATSINC.org. You know what it is. They do what they can to help you, so you should do what you can to help them. Become a member, become a sponsor, learn about the site, tell a friend to tell a friend. Do whatever you can to get involved. And so, without much further ado, this is going to be another update show for the coronavirus. And I'm really not going to get into impeachment too much because people have kind of talked that to death. But I am going to delve into it a little bit, and then we're going to jump right into the main topic of the day, which is going to be the 2020 State of the Union. Now, obviously, an hour-long speech is a lot for me to condense and get into, so I'm going to cover some of the things that I think are significant all the way up to lie number 50. So the coronavirus is continuing its reign of terror as it continues to spread. As of this moment, the latest information I have shows that the coronavirus has spread to 35,000 people worldwide and has killed 805 people, which officially clears it of SARS, like I said last week, in terms of people infected. I wasn't talking about deaths. Now we are surpassed SARS and even deaths. SARS, 8,000 people were infected, 8,100 people were infected, and 774 people died. With this, 35,000 people have been infected worldwide, 805 people have died. So this, and it was the same with MERS in relation to the lethality of the coronavirus. This is not as lethal. The mortality rate is not as high, but it seems to be a lot more contagious. Very, very, very contagious. So there is some hope there that if you're healthy, like I said last week, if you're healthy, chances are you will survive. Chances are very great that you would get this illness, this disease, and you will pull through just fine. But in terms of the overall numbers of deaths that are probably going to occur from this, because it's so infectious, because it's so hard to detect, because you could be spreading it without showing any symptoms, we could be seeing a massive number of people that are just not going to make it. I mean, even now, with it still being something that, you know, you don't really know that you're giving it to people because you feel fine for up to 2 weeks. And even though they have scanners that can verify that someone is healthy, people aren't going to go get checked out until they feel sick. And by then, they could have passed it on to hundreds of people. So we really don't know how many people are infected. And the fact of the matter is, we won't know how many people are infected until the amount of new cases starts to drop. But as long as that amount of new cases is increasing, we don't know how many people are actually infected, which means we don't know how bad this thing is going to get. But it is something to take serious, and it is something to be conscious of. Again, don't panic. And I was reading a lot of reports and listening to a lot of healthcare professionals. And from my understanding of the data, because I don't think you have to be a medical professional to understand the data, you might need to be a professional to be able to interpret it in certain regards and to be clear to give advice. But from my understanding of the data, it seems like, and the experts, it seems like the best thing you can do is to take care of your hygiene. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Cover, cough into your arms. The virus doesn't seem to survive very well on non-biological surfaces, which means that, and it is susceptible to standard soap and water. So just making sure that you're clean and making sure that you're wiping down your environments is enough to keep you clear of the coronavirus. That being said, I say all that to say, don't panic. Don't start tripping. I also say that to say, those little masks that people are getting from Walmart and whatnot, those things are useless. Okay, they're useless. And that's not just me talking from looking at the data, but that's also what a lot of the research, the experts are saying as well. So the literally best thing you can do for yourself is to make sure that you're washing your hands, washing your surfaces, and taking care of your hygiene. Now, with the impeachment in our rear views, Trump was acquitted. He was not convicted, but he is still impeached. And that is something that will follow him. Numerous senators gave various reasons about why they were not going to impeach him and why they didn't think that they needed more witnesses. One of the reasons given was that they felt like he had learned his lesson. They believe he did what he did, but they felt like he had learned his lesson. Another reason given was that they didn't need more witnesses because they believed that he did what he did. And then there were other people that said, yes, he did what he did, and it is an impeachable offense, but impeaching him isn't what's best for the country right now. So you had and then of course you had those, like we knew they were. He didn't do what you said he did, and even if he did, it's not an impeachable offense. So pretty much things rolled out the way we thought they would in that regard. Now the interesting thing here is that by Mitt Romney voting to impeach Donald Trump, this actually makes this the most bipartisan impeachment in the history of presidential impeachments. In the history of presidential impeachments, no senator has voted to convict the president of their own party. So by Mitt Romney, a Republican, voting to impeach Donald Trump, he made this impeachment historic. This was the first time a senator voted to impeach a president from their own party. So that makes it historic. But also, the not having witnesses, not having new evidence during the trial makes it historic. And also the follow-up activity now makes it historic because Trump has fired. He recalled Ambassador Sondland, and he fired the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's twin brother, who didn't even have anything to do with the impeachment, but he reassigned them both outside of the National Security Council in the White House. And so he's been in his bag and on his game, launching out at all of those people who he feels like betrayed him. And we're going to pay attention to that because there's probably going to be a lot more fallout from that. The interesting thing about this Trump situation, though, is that it really does remind you of, well, before I go there, I will say this. Impeachment is a political solution to a political problem. It was not intended that an impeachment not be pursued simply because the president was in an election year. In fact, some of the founding fathers actually made statements about the American people not being required to solve political problems of this nature at the ballot box. if a president does something that corrupts the office or that harms society, the solution is impeachment. That is what it's there for. And so by the Republicans basically saying that just because he did something and it was wrong and it was corrupt, and because there have been some that said that it was corrupt, but to say that we're not going to impeach him because it's not in the best interest of the country, well, that follows along with Dershowitz's argument that, and Dershowitz was on the president's defense team, where he basically said if the president feels like it's in his best interest, it's in the interest of the national, of the nation, that he be reelected, he can do whatever he wants in order to make that happen. Richard Nixon actually had that same argument. If that's the case, then there is no grounds for impeachment at all. If it has to be criminal, but it also can't be something that the president feels is in the best interest of the nation, then there is going to be nothing that meets that criteria. And to say to the American people, who, remind you, 3 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump. Now, I am not one of those people that says, let's get rid of the Electoral College. I understand the Electoral College. I understand the need for it. But let's also keep in mind, when we're talking about invalidating votes, that's kind of a weak argument that the Republicans are making, that you're going to invalidate the votes of 65 million Americans or 66 million Americans, when 67 or 68 million Americans voted for Hillary Clinton. So their votes were invalidated by the Electoral College, But in any case, to say that the American people should have a chance to determine whether or not what he did was right or wrong in an election that he was trying to fix in his favor reminds me of all of the court cases and all of the issues that black people had here in America, where there was actually a case I was reading about it, and forgive me for not having the name in my mind right now, but I know it'll come back, or maybe somebody will share it in the comments. There was a case where I believe it was Robert was his first name. Anyways, a black guy was accused of a crime. Two of his jurors, you heard me right, two of his jurors got out of the jury box, took the stand, testified against him, and then went back into the jury box to deliberate on whether or not he was guilty or innocent. And this was held up, as far as I understand. If it was overturned later, then I don't know about that. But as far as I understand, this was held up. And there are plenty of cases of black people in America facing situations where the jury is rigged against them. And this was another one of those cases where it wasn't just black people, but the jury was rigged against the majority of the American citizens by the minority of the Republicans. Sure, they're the majority in the Senate, but they are a minority in the country. But I've already gone too far into this, farther into it than I wanted to go. So we're going to transition, because it's time to talk about this 2020 State of the Union. So this one was tough, waiting out the week, because I wanted to talk about impeachment when it happened, and I wanted to talk about the 2020 State of the Union right after it happened. Unfortunately, I got other things to do with my life since podcasting don't pay the bills. I mean, it is what it is. Now, if you want to change that, you can definitely holler at your boy, because I'm definitely willing to take your money. If you enjoy listening to this and you want me to have more time to prepare, a show, because I go deep when it's time to go deep, and these shows definitely take a bit to prepare. But anyways, I'm already getting sidetracked and I'm adding time onto something that I want to keep short. So the State of the Union address, Donald Trump, of course, used it as his political, his reelection campaign bid, but he could not use it as a victory lap towards impeachment the way I'm sure he wanted to, because he had not been acquitted yet. So he did what he could basically to make this a MAGA rally, and he did a very good job. There were props, there was emotional moments, there were people acting surprised. He had black people in the audience as he totally pandered to black people, as he did his best to try to gain a black vote that is, I'm hoping, not going to go to him, although I'm not really sure that it won't, because my confidence is kind of shaken as far as where a lot of people stand and feel about Trump. There have been a lot more people that have been talking favorably about how they feel about Trump. And not that I have a problem with that. If you actually feel favorably about Trump, that's fine. My thing is just have the evidence and the stats to back up the claims that you make. And that's really where I'm getting at. You can feel however you want to feel about his policies. The man lies a lot. And so if you find yourself parroting what he said and you don't have anything to back it up, but he said it, then I'm questioning your intelligence. And this is the part of, like, for all the way up until now, I had been trying to be fairly, not, I won't say balanced, because I've made my disdain clear for certain policies and certain parties. But if somebody did something that was cool, it really didn't matter what side they were on. And now I feel like we're at a point where you just got to call a spade a spade. This stuff is reprehensible, and there's really no other word for it. So as I was analyzing the State of the Union, and again, I'm only going to get into the first 50 lies, and we might not even get that far, because I am going to stop myself because I don't want the show to run too long. And if you want to, if you want to see the entire list that I've created, you know, and be fair, my children helped me with this list, and they're going to help me some more, but they don't even realize it yet. They're probably finding out just now as I'm recording the show. But anyways, we're only going to cover the first 50. Now, I am going to talk about some other things that happened during the State of the Union, things that I think were important, things that I thought were significant. But by my calculation, there was, depending on how you slice it, between 255 and 270 statements made that you could look into to see, are these statements true or false? Now, his first 50 lies came in the first 73 statements. Actually, the first 71 statements, because I have 51 lies on this list that I'm looking at. But so that just goes to show. So in 73 statements, he made 51 lies. Which is amazing, giving him a 71% lying rating. 71% of the statement that we're of the statements that we're going to look at were lies, and so far as that has actually been checked, verified, and looked at by yours truly, your boy. I think that's a lie. I feel like that's a, no. I went and looked it up. I went and looked at the raw numbers. So the very first lie is like the very first sentence, I believe. 3 years ago, we launched the Great American Comeback. Jobs are booming. Boom. Very first lie. Now, people would be like, well, that's not a lie. Jobs are booming. Well, it's a lie because he starts it with 3 years ago, we launched the Great American Comeback. And the results are in. Jobs are booming. The insinuation there being that jobs are booming because of something he did 3 years ago, and prior to that, jobs were not booming. And as has been pointed out during his presidency by everybody with two eyes and a brain, and certain people with no eyes and a brain, and certain people with sections of their brains missing. It's been pointed out repeatedly, the job growth and the economy that Donald Trump inherited from President Obama was a very strong, positive, upticking economy. And it has essentially continued that trend. It has continued the exact same trend. In fact, it has slowed a bit. But speaking generically, it has continued the same upward trend that it had when Obama left office. So that's what makes it a lie, is the insinuation that this all started 3 years ago. And prior to that, we was all shitting in buckets and throwing them on cows and eating and doing all of the other foolishness. So the next lie is poverty is plummeting. This is true because, or this is a lie again for the same reason, the insinuation that 3 years ago, he changed everything. Crime is falling, another lie. Confidence is surging, another lie. Our country is thriving, another lie. All of those are lies because of the insinuation that he did it. Then there's the insinuation that we are highly respected. Now, this is a particularly interesting lie, because he doesn't say by whom. So you have to assume that he means by everyone. And that makes it a lie. Our country is not highly respected. And it is impossible to link to one source for that amount of information, because so many things that have happened. We have politically attacked our allies in statements that Donald Trump has made about Canada, about Mexico, about the EU. He's been nicer to tyrants and dictators and totalitarians and other people that have historically been our enemies than he has been to our actual allies. And this is something that's been commented on repeatedly by analysts. So there are the attacks on allies. He was laughed at during his speech to world leaders. This has happened repeatedly. He was picked on at a lunch. We're talking about, what is this, high school world leaders sitting around at a lunch table picking on the United States president? He got so mad he left early. Got on the Air Force One and flew back to America because they were talking about him. The baby Trump balloon that keeps resurfacing over Europe, over the UK. The fights with Mexico and Canada. He even put trade tariffs on Mexico and Canada. The return of the Death to America chants in the Middle East also show a lack of respect. Breaking our promises and pulling out of agreements without cause, like the Iran nuclear deal, abandoning the Kurds. All of these things have shown the U.S., especially under this president, to be untrustworthy, have shown us to be not worthy of respect. So that statement's false. America's enemies are on the run. This statement is false again because he implies that they weren't on the run before, as if Barack Obama did not kill a major terrorist. So, some of the enemies are on the run. That was true before he took office, like I just said. Other enemies have stopped running altogether and have decided to just, you know, you can be friendly with this idiot. All you got to do is be nice with him. Russia took that approach. North Korea took that approach initially until they got a working nuke. And then it was just kind of like, all right, we done. America's fortunes are on the rise. Again, this is a lie because he insinuates that it started because of him. No, it started before you. The years of economic decay are over. Same reason, they were over before you even thought about announcing a campaign. The days of our country, well, I can't say that because people were trying to get Donald Trump to run for president in the 90s. So I can't say that. Well, actually, yes, I can. Because in the 90s, Bill Clinton was president. And he oversaw one of the greatest economies that we've seen in the last 40, 50 years or more. So yeah, I could even say it then. So where am I? The days of our country being used and taken advantage of, that's a lie. Our country was taken advantage of in the 2016 elections by Russia. Our country was taken advantage of by the Saudis in the Middle East. Our country was taken advantage of by North Korea. Our country was taken advantage of by Turkey. And these are just three examples of people taking advantage of our country to do things that they want to do and to have the space to do them, such as Turkey's invasion of Syria when we pulled out and abandoned the Kurds and the Turks swooped in, such as the press that Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, got by being seen with the president of the United States in a meeting. You know, and you just go down the line, the games that the Saudis played when they killed the journalist Khashoggi. You could just go down the line. So next we move on to, gone are the broken promises. Do I really even have to go into that? I don't think I do, because there have been so many broken promises. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've never been so tired of winning in my life. Anyways, going to the jobs. Oh, and I'm black. Let's not forget the what have you got to lose, black people? Apparently a lot. Apparently a lot. Going to the jobless recoveries. False. Obama created more jobs in his last 3 years than Trump created in his first 3 years. Going to the tired platitudes. See all of the tired platitudes in this very speech. Going to are the constant excuses for the depletion of American wealth, power, and prestige. Now, I struggle with this one because this one is actually kind of true, but it's also kind of false. You see, the excuses are still there. They're just different. So before you had all of these, you had a more of a variety, a plethora. You had a smorgasbord of excuses. Nowadays, you really only have one excuse for the depletion of American wealth, power, and prestige. And that excuse is former President Barack Obama, the last administration. They seem to be blamed for everything in this administration. So it made this one difficult because on the one hand, just being literal, you could say it's true that all of the constant excuses are gone. The regular excuses we're used to hearing, those are gone. But the excuses themselves are still there. So then he says, in just 3 short years, we have shattered the mentality of American decline. That is blatantly false because America has been on the rise for the last 10 years, roughly. We're moving forward at a pace that was unimaginable just a short time ago, and we're never going back. The pace has actually slowed since Trump has taken office, and there are a lot of people, including myself, that are already talking about a potential recession. So, yes, we would be going back if that were to happen. Our economy is the best it's ever been. False. The economy is strong, but the main metrics that are breaking records are the metrics that indicate the sheer size of the economy, and nobody is disputing that the American economy is the biggest economy the world has ever seen. But just because something is big doesn't mean it's healthy. We've seen, you walk down the street, see somebody with some sort of illness or somebody with some sort of condition walking around riding around on those little motorcycles or moped things. Person is very large. That's why they're on the moped thing. But that doesn't mean they're healthy. They're just big. Just because something's big doesn't mean it's healthy. So, in your face, the metrics that indicate health all show that this economy, while strong, can be stronger. See Bill Clinton's economy. See, and we can go down the list. Anyways, our military has been completely rebuilt. The military is mostly the same as it was before Trump took office. Let's not even lie about that. Just not even engage in it. Yeah. Let us not forget that the military was getting gigantic spending increases even when Obama was in office. Then he goes on to say, with this power being unmatched anywhere in the world, and it's not even close. Look, the U.S. military has been the strongest in the world for the last 100 years. So the reason why this claim is false is because he says, and it's not even close. Actually, it is close. One of the reasons why, I mean, Russia has more nuclear weapons. Nobody has the sheer capability, the sheer military capability that we have. But to say that the military's power is unmatched and is not even close makes the assumption that the American military can take over the entire world if we wanted to. And the fact of the matter is that we cannot. You see, the U.S. military has been the strongest in the world for at least the last 100 years. But the strength of something can't be measured in the cost of it, which is usually how they measure the strength of the military. We spend more money on our military than anybody else. That doesn't mean that it's better. That just means that it's more expensive. The key attribute of our military strength has been our ability to not get into conflicts with other nations, other strong nations. We've been in alliances with most of the other strong militaries on the planet and in peace agreements with those that we aren't in an alliance with. We've also never gotten into a fight alone. However, if we lost those alliances and found ourselves having to fight a major opponent alone in a place where we can't deploy the full might of our military, we might see a totally different outcome, i.e., look at what's happening in the Middle East. Everybody's like, why don't we just go in there and destroy it? Yeah, we could launch a nuke. We have the capabilities of extermination on that level. But just sending in our military to fight a war, it really hasn't worked out too well for us. The Middle East, we're pulling out of that basically with our tail tucked between our legs. Vietnam, we lost that war. I don't care what anybody wants to say. I understand it was a proxy war, but the fact of the matter is, that we got our asses kicked. We did not win. I won't say we got our asses kicked, but we did not win. And the same situation holds true in North Korea, where we still have not signed an end to the war with North Korea. We're just in a ceasefire. And I'm not saying the American military, America shouldn't be proud of its military, but I am saying that overconfidence, it's caused a lot of downfalls. If all of the other countries, if our allies backed out and left us alone to our own devices, the only way we would win a war is if we decided we were going to destroy the earth by nuking other countries and hoping that they don't nuke us back. Because we also got to remember, America so far is the only nation in existence that, in the history of ever, actually, that has launched a nuclear missile. So we know that we will do it to somebody else, but heaven forbid somebody decides, you know what, fuck that, we're gonna launch one of them too. Our borders are secure. Now, this is false, and it's only false because he keeps saying that it's false. But it's funny that he keeps saying that it's false, but then he has this speech where he says our borders are secure, but very later on in the exact same speech, he says that the wall isn't complete and we need to finish it so that our borders can be secure. Make up your damn mind. Which one is it? Are the borders secure or not? So until you make up your mind, I'm going to declare both of them false. Fact of the matter is, people can come across the border. Fact of the matter is, drugs do make it into the country from other places. Fact of the matter is, criminals do enter the country from other places. And I'm not even saying that to say everybody entering the country is a criminal. That's not my point. My point is that things are coming across the border that shouldn't be coming across the border. And I'm not even just talking about the southern border, the one he keeps focusing on. I'm also talking about the northern border. I know it's minuscule. I get that. But it's still a border. I'm also talking about the eastern and western borders, because people do come in from planes, the air border. People come in from boats. If y'all want to be stupid and ridiculous, I can be stupid and ridiculous too. Thank you. Our families are flourishing. No, they're not. No, they're not. And that this is only not true, again, because he's saying it as if he caused it. Families are continuing along the trend they started on when President Obama was in office. Our values are being renewed. No, they're not. This is personal opinion, but the dishonesty, the bullying tactics, the infidelity, not really honorable values that he can say that he espouses. Our pride is restored, see above. The state of our union is stronger than ever before. False. Given the extreme partisanship and the uptick in race-based violence and white supremacy, this dude had the audacity to give Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, you heard me right. White supremacists, I hate everybody that ain't black or ain't white, Rush Limbaugh. He got the Civilian Medal of Freedom, the highest award a civilian can get. And President Trump gave him that award while at the same time pandering to black people for the black vote. I'm gonna stop soon because this is already running longer than these shows usually run. And I know I don't have no time limits. I can go as long as I want, but out of respect for my audience. But I'm gonna cover a few more. We are building the world's most inclusive and prosperous society. Now, this is just a damn joke. The world's most prosperous and inclusive society, says the man who made the statement about shithole countries. The man who basically says anybody that disagrees with him is a traitor that needs to be put in jail or outright murdered or disappeared or something. He says he moved rapidly to revive the U.S. economy. Revive it from what? Revive it from all of the growth that it was doing before you got in office? Slash the record number of job-killing regulations. Another false statement. He did slash a number of regulations. But as I've said a million times before thus far, the economy was improving before he took office, which means that the economy was improving while those regulations were in place. So how could they be job-killing regulations? Enacted historic and record-setting tax cuts. This has been fact-checked to death. It's just simply not true. And it's one of those things where it doesn't matter how much you say a thing. If it's not true, it's not true. Although, and that's nice and fine to say logically, but we all know that if you say something a bunch of times, eventually people will start to believe it. Hence Lil Wayne being the greatest rapper of all time. I'm sorry, the greatest rapper alive. Even though he would say the greatest rapper alive since the greatest rapper retired. Retiring is not dying. He's still alive. That's a whole nother point, though. And I'm not even a Jay-Z fan, but I'm just, you know, like, that's what he said. So by his own statement, he's alive. But anyways, the fact is that the tax cuts passed was not record-setting or historic in any way that is positive to the people. There are at least three, but as many as seven different tax cuts that were bigger, depending on how you're rating the tax cuts, what stats you're looking at. However, there are some numbers that show that the tax cuts may have been the largest corporate tax cuts in history. I don't know why he would want to brag about that, given how people feel about corporate earnings and taxes in general. But, you know, Donald Trump is that dude. You know, he probably do it and people will start championing corporate income. It's a lie. Says he's been fighting for fair and reciprocal trade agreements. That's false. The president has pulled out of more deals than he has signed into. The man is the pullout king. Most have been basically, but the deals that he has signed us into have basically been the same as the deal he pulled out of, effectively cleaning up a mess he created, trying to leave the deals in the first damn place. The deals are not more fair or reciprocal than those that preceded them. They're just getting us back to where we were before he decided he was going to pull out and get a better deal. That's like me going off on my boss, quitting my job, threatening to blow everything up if I don't get a raise, my boss filing a lawsuit, filing a restraining order against me and threatening to take me to trial. And this is an extreme example, but fuck it. Let's roll. And then me saying, you know what, boss? I apologize. I ain't going to do none of that. Just let me get my job back and we can chill this whole thing out. I'll give you your family back and we good. And then you get your job back. And you saying, yeah, I showed that motherfucker. You're right back where you started from. You just went in a big ass circle for no reason. Anyways, our agenda is relentlessly pro-worker. When you look at the tax cuts, the tariffs, and the statements, this simply is not true. Trump is pro-corporation, not pro-worker. He claims he's pro-family. False. Trump's separation plan at the border, gentrifying support in the form of opportunity zones, something he brags about in this very speech, that is gentrification, amongst other things, clearly shows that this man is not pro-family. That, in addition to his own activity in his personal family, sleeping with porn stars and paying them to be quiet. That what about that says pro-family? And it's not even that he slept with porn stars. It's that he slept with people that weren't his wife. If you want to dick down a porn star, that's your business. I don't care, personally. I'm not mad at you. I'm not blaming you. I'm not attacking you. I'm not nothing. Porn stars are people too. They have needs. They want to be in relationships. They got all of the same situations that everybody else got going on. They just get paid to fuck. So it's not even disparaging about the porn star thing. And maybe I've been listening to too much news where they keep specifying that it's a porn star as if that matters. He slept with a woman that was not his wife. Repeatedly. Different women. And then paid them to be quiet. That's not exactly family values. Says he's pro-American. Trump has repeatedly attacked anyone that doesn't agree with him, including his own appointees and government agencies. And he has repeatedly taken the viewpoint of foreigners over those of Americans and his own intelligence agencies. False. He is not pro-American. We're advancing with unbridled optimism and lifting citizens of every race. Stop it. All of this stuff I said before. And even to that, you can look at the Road to Zero Wealth, the report that was put out in 2015. Nothing's changed since that report was put out. Yes. Says he's down for the unbridled advancement of citizens of every color. See above. My comments mentioned above. Religion. In this very speech, Trump gives no deference to those that have a polytheistic view. And at the end, he has repeatedly said negative things about Muslims. Creed, see above. We have created 7 million new jobs. Another false statement. It's nitpicking, I know. But Trump actually created 6.5 million jobs while he has been president. And you'll be hard-pressed to give him credit for the jobs being created in his first month or two in office. And given the consistency of job growth, you'd really be hard-pressed to see where he did anything significant at all. Other than the tax cuts. And that was only a temporary blip. This administration believes that they should get credit starting from the day Trump won the election in 2016, despite not being sworn in until the end of January. That's November, December, January. He wants credits for 3 months that he was not in office for. Nah, bro. 5 million more jobs were created than government experts predicted during the previous administration. I don't know where he got this number from. I couldn't find it. And I'm going to just leave it out of that. The unemployment rate is the lowest in half a century. This is true. That was true. The unemployment rate under his administration is lower than any administration in the history of our country. That is false. Unemployment was tracked differently for much of the time that it's been tracked. And it wasn't tracked at all for most of U.S. history. And presidents don't really have a large role in unemployment numbers to begin with. If we hadn't reversed the failed economic policies of the previous administration, we would not now be witnessing this great economic success. See above. Just see above. All of the stuff that I've been saying. The unemployment rate for African Americans has reached the lowest level in history. It hasn't been tracked for all of history. And there are some reports that prior to the Great Depression, black unemployment was at 3%, well lower than the 5 or 6% that it's at now. I don't know why nobody's ever called him on this. I think it's because the Bureau of Labor and Statistics didn't start tracking black unemployment or race-based unemployment, but black unemployment specifically until, I believe, the 1940s or 50s. But there are some numbers out there that predate the Bureau of Labor and Statistics tracking. Now, we can question the accuracy and validity of those numbers. Fact of the matter is, those numbers are there, and they are lower. And then he goes on to say the same lie about Hispanics, Asians, youths, women. It's just a bunch of foolishness. Just a bunch of foolishness. So, says 10 million people have been lifted off of welfare during his administration. Not only is this false and misleading, we don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. What does he mean when he says welfare? Like, welfare is not some blanket term where, like, you go to the office of welfare and you get on the welfare. People are on programs. They're on SNAP, the Nutritional Assistance Program, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, aka food stamps. They're on various forms of Medicaid. Unless you want to say that that's not really welfare, because most children and senior citizens are on Medicaid. Whatever. They get various utility assistance, WIC, Women, Infant, and Children. There are various different programs that are under this umbrella of welfare. So we don't even know what he means when he says that 10 million people have been listed off of welfare. But beyond that, when you add up all of the numbers, the number doesn't add up to 10 million. So he says in 8 years under the last administration, over 300,000 working age people dropped out of the workforce. That's just not true. See my numbers, see my statements above. After decades of flat and falling incomes, wages are rising fast. Now, as previously discussed, Trump's economy, this is false, but his economy is a continuation of the quote-unquote Obama economy. And the argument could be made that real income has been flat or falling for decades, but that would be inconsistent with the way that Trump has talked about the economy and wages with regards to his own administration, even in this very speech. Which leads me to believe that he isn't talking about real income and is instead referring purely to static wages and figures without any additional analysis for things like inflation and spending power, which means this isn't true. Wages are rising. Not real wages, but wages are rising. And they were rising before he came in office. Now, if he's talking about real wages, well, they're still flat. He goes on to say the next lie. Since my election, U.S. stock markets have soared 70%. Not sure what market indicator he's referring to, but the S&P only increased about 40% since his inauguration. And the Dow has also only increased about 40% since his inauguration. So that's a bold-faced lie. Then he says, transcending anything anyone believed was possible. His run actually isn't historical. It doesn't transcend to anything. If he was referring to the Dow, Obama saw 148% increase during his tenure. That's 100% more than his 40% increase. Clinton saw 228% increase during his tenure. In fact, of the last five presidents, two Democrats, three Republicans, Clinton and Obama saw larger stock rises during their terms by the Dow than any of the Republican presidents. Now, Trump has overseen or has been president during the largest rise in for Republican history out of the last five presidents, that 40% number, but it's not historic and it's not transcending unless he's saying it transcends anything anybody believed was possible for a Republican. Then, or maybe he's saying transcending anything anyone would believe about him. This is a record. No, it's not. That's what he said. And I said, no, it's not. It is something every country in the world is looking up to. They admire. I already talked about that. I don't think anybody's admiring us right now. All of those, well, Not every country, we'll say that. All of those millions of people with 401ks and pensions are doing far better than they have ever done before, with increases of 60, 70, 80, 90, and 100% and even more. First off, what the fuck does that even mean? That's like me saying anything. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100% and more? Really? You just going to name out all the numbers. It's got to be true if I name them all, right? And even with that, still not true. There's no evidence that 401k balances have skyrocketed according to Forbes. And it isn't a good indicator of a healthy economy anyways. So I know I said I was going to stop this early and not run long, but I got in my bag and I started feeling myself and I ended up covering all 51 of the lies that I said I was going to cover. And keep in mind, right? So we're only at statement number 73 out of the 270 that I have marked. And on this list, I do have the true ones marked as well. And like I said before, what I might end up doing is dropping this list somewhere, maybe on a Reddit post or somewhere where people can see the actual, because it's an Excel spreadsheet. So I might do that. Then again, I might not. I make no promises. The only thing I can say is that if this gets a lot of attention and a lot of people say we want to see the list, I drop the list. If that doesn't happen, then if I feel like dropping the list, I'll drop the list. And if I don't, I keep it to myself. But I got it ready. Already up. You feel me? Anyways, thank y'all for rocking with me. I know this show has been a little bit longer than usual, but I appreciate you guys for rocking with me. This has been Lessons from the Screen, and I will see you next week. Tell a friend.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.